Book of Jeremiah. Turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33. Jeremiah, chapter 33, tonight. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Jeremiah, chapter 33, and verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and shew thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword, they come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I have slain in my anger and in my fury. And for all whose wickedness, I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without man and without inhabitant and without beast. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. Now, Father, again, we do thank you for the word of God, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand the truth of your word. And, Lord, in this short time that we look at these few verses here, I pray, Lord, you would make a difference in our lives and remind us of something, encourage us, challenge us, and work in our hearts. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at this passage of Scripture, it's kind of an amazing thing. The last verse that I read, voice 11, talking about the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. He's talking about the cities of Jerusalem and Judah and all that, everything in Jerusalem and the cities of Judah. And so he's talking about the millennial kingdom here. He's talking about bringing them back in the captivity, and they will praise the Lord and everything that's going to do it. But you know, it says, it's kind of an interesting thing in verse 11. It says, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. Now, does that sound familiar to anybody? Is that phrase, the sacrifice of praise, does that sound familiar to anybody here? I want you to think about something. All right. If you would, turn with me over to the book of Hebrews, if you would. And sometimes I think we miss a great blessing that the Bible talks about. Hebrews chapter 13. He said in verse 12, he said, Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. You know, he's talking about Israel one day, that Judah and Jerusalem are going to be inhabited again, and there's going to be in the streets that were made desolate, there's going to be rejoicing, and there's going to be all these things that are going to happen. They're going to be praising the Lord, and they're going to be offering this, bring the sacrifice of praise. That's something that Israel will get to do one day, but we get to do that now. You know, we need to get out of the mully grubs and make sure that we praise the Lord the way we're supposed to. We need to take the time to be thankful for the fact that we're saved. My redemption is done. Israel's redemption is yet to come. But my redemption's finished. My redemption's sure. So anyway, I just wanted you to think about that. We ought to be praising the Lord. One day they're going to bring the sacrifice of praise in Judah and Jerusalem. Trust me, they're not doing it right now. One day they shall. But you and I get to do that now, if you're saved. Amen. Why would we not want to do that? But let's go back to the beginning of the chapter. He says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. Now, that's a good thing to think about right there. It doesn't matter where you are. The word of the Lord can get there. Jeremiah was in the prison, but he wasn't forsaken by God. Brother John was on the Isle of Patmos, but he wasn't forsaken by God, was he? Paul and Silas were in the Philippian jail, but they weren't forsaken by God. Paul was imprisoned at Rome, but he wasn't forsaken by God. People getting saved left and right. Jeremiah's in the prison, but he's not forsaken by God. And the word of the Lord comes to him the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. So this is God's word, the maker, the former, the one who established it, the Lord, God. And he says to Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and shew thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He tells Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and shew thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He says, I'm going to show you things, Jeremiah, that you don't understand or know. You're going to see things. And then he goes on and he says, for thus saith the Lord of God of Israel concerning the houses of this city and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I have slain in my anger and my fury, for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. He said, right now, he said, you're seeing nothing but destruction. You're seeing the judgment of God. He said, but I'm going to bring a cure. I will bring it health and a cure. And I will cure them and reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return and will build them at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. Folks, listen to me very carefully. We need to understand something. We serve a God that is going to take a nation of rebels and turn them into obedient people in His good time. He's made promises that He's going to keep to Israel. And He's made promises that He's going to keep to us. But He tells Jeremiah in his worst position, He tells him, He says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and shew thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not of." Which thou knowest not. So, He's saying, you can look at what's going on right now around you. You're in prison. The city is being destroyed and the people are being killed around you. Read the book of Lamentations and see what happens in the midst of the Babylonian invasion of Judah and Jerusalem. And how they treated the man of God, how they treated the prophet. And he's in prison. They don't want him to preach, but the word of God comes to him. And God also tells him, "Call upon me." Now, he's going to see some amazing things. He's going to be rescued, not by his people, but by the heathen, as we go down. God's going to use the heathen to save him. That's an amazing thing that's going to happen. He's going to be at some point, he's going to be down into the dungeon and up to his neck almost in mud, in mire. They're going to have to take some old cast clouts and pull him up out of it. He's going to be left to die, but they're going to come and take him out. But he's in prison, and God says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Now, I would submit to you that God can be trusted. I would submit to you that if you and I continue to do His will, that we're going to see some amazing things. I would submit to you that if you and I spend our time in prayer, earnest and fervent prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, tells us in the book of James. If we get our hearts right with God and pray like we ought to, we could see some miraculous things happen with these mailers. How many of you believe that it is God's will that we get the gospel out to this whole area? Do you believe that? Do you believe it's God's will for every person here to hear the gospel? For every person here to get a chance to be saved. Now, we're going to put these mailers out with the hope of putting the gospel in it, into every household in the area by the best we can do. And we need to pray. Do you think the devil is going to take that line down? Then we need to pray. Did you know that the people that are driving the mail trucks, they could read that and get mad and they could grab everything and just throw them in the trash? Means we need to pray, doesn't it? And I'll be checking around, and if you never receive one of these, every one of us should receive one. So that's in this area. So if you never receive one, by all means, let me know. But your neighbors, everybody should receive one, and everybody should get one. Everybody that's in the zip code should get one. And if we don't get them, then by all means, let us know. And then we'll talk to the people. But, you know, why leave it to chance? Why not call upon the Lord? If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. That's the reality. The goal is to get the gospel out. The goal is to put the Word of God out. The goal is to try to get people saved. But we can't do it if we don't pray. Now, truth be told, we should have already been praying about it, shouldn't we? We knew we were going to do this. Should be a part of our regular prayer. But God tells Isaiah, when he's in his one of the worst positions of his life, to call upon Him, and that He would answer him. And He gives them, and He gives them as proof what He's promised to do. He said in verse 9, "And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it." In other words, the whole world's going to see and hear the good that God does to Israel. And you know what it's going to do? You know what it's going to do? It's going to make an impact in their lives when they see the goodness of God. You see, they're going to see the judgment of God. And the world has already seen and is seeing today the judgment of God on the nation of Israel for their unbelief. I mean, they're there now, and isn't it amazing that nobody around them wants peace with them? And then we get to where it seems like we're having peace, and somebody's doing something, and people are mad about it. People are upset that the president was able to get some of these nations to enter into some type of peace accord or normalization of relations with Israel. Now, they're going to double-cross Israel. I know that. You know that. If you read the Bible, you know that. There's no human going to bring peace over there. Not any lasting peace. We know that. There's going to come a time when all the nations of the earth are going to be gathered together over there, including the United States of America, if we're around when that time comes. If we hadn't already dissolved into whatever we may end up being. You know, the whole idea. But look at what happens. Look at the news media. They don't want peace for Israel. All they do is accuse Israel. Look at most of the politicians. They don't want peace in the Middle East. They don't want that. Look at the United Nations. Israel is surrounded by enemies. And the United Nations blames them for everything wrong that's going on over there. Just a fact. The world is seeing the judgment of God on the nation of Israel, but the world will also see the goodness of God. And there's going to come a day when the world is going to see that goodness, and they're going to see God keep His promises, and it's going to cause them to tremble before God. And you know, if you go to the book of Romans, I'm trying to remember the exact chapter, but in the book of Romans, if I can find the passage of Scripture that I'm looking for here. Let's see if I can find exactly what I'm looking for. looking for the passage of Scripture that says, "Knowest not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" I'm trying to remember where that is. I can't remember off the top of my head. That's a passage. I should have looked it up before I came to the service tonight. But I thought I might remember where it was. And I'm trying to remember exactly where it was. But he said, "Knowest not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Let me see if I can find it. Huh?
Romans 2:4.
Okay. Ah, there we go. I thought it was around that area, and I was looking all around there, but I kept glossing over it. All right. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou should escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" So, this is something too that we need to understand. When we put out the gospel, we're telling people about the goodness of God. They have to see the power and the judgment of God. All right, and the thing we're sending out, we clearly state that all of us will stand before God one day and give an account, and we'll be justly judged. That the wages of sin is death. But we also give them the answer, don't we? We give them the gospel, how Christ died for them and paid the penalty for their sin and rose from the dead, how they need to repent and believe the gospel. We tell them all of that. And this is the thing. We look at what the Bible says. We see that people need to hear of the goodness of God. They need to hear about the judgment of God. They need to hear about death and hell and all the things that come with rejecting the gospel. But they also need to see the goodness of God. And that's what we're trying to accomplish. That's why he tells them this. And this is what we need to look at. This is what I want you to see in this short time we're here tonight. I want you to see that we need to do our part. And what we're doing is a good thing. What we're doing is something that they need to see, that the world needs to see. They need to hear of the goodness of God. This is our time. This is our hour. This is our opportunity. Will you pray? Will you believe God? Will you call upon Him? Do you believe He'll answer you? Show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not of. You know, whatever we're supposed to do, we're supposed to do believing. Whatsoever is not of faith is what?
Sin.
So will we believe? Will we believe? Will we call on Him? Will we pray? Will we believe that we need Him? Jeremiah was in prison. He was not in control. We're going to pay good money to get these things shipped out. And guess what? We're not in control. We're going to put them in somebody else's hands. We may put them in the hands, for all we know, we might put them in the hands of a Satanist. We don't know who's going to be delivering these things. We don't know what their heart's going to be. We don't know how the devil's going to try to influence them. We don't know anything. All we know is that we're doing the will of God. So we ought to heed the word of God. We ought to pray, trust Him. And I just want to challenge you in that regard. That's all I've got tonight. That's all I've got. Will you pray? All right. Well, God bless you. You're dismissed.